Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Now, if you've been listening to the show and following through with much of the conversations we've been sharing with you throughout the course of the year, you'd be well aware that this year is a year of prominence, especially for South Africa, given our presidency of the G20. Now, that's critical because it means that as a African state, not only are we representing our peers, but we have an opportunity to engage with our global counterparts in making sure that in a united front, we're able to address much of the themes that impact and influence all of our economies. But beyond just the G20, the beautiful theme is that there's several tracks that actually identify opportunities for growth and are targeted in terms of the solutions that they aim to share in order to make sure that all economies, including that of South Africa and our G20 peers, can see themselves in a sustained environment. And this is where the B20 comes in, where business itself has been sharing recommendations with the G20 around key interventions and reforms that we can implement. Of the B20, though, there are 8 separate task forces which are focused on a myriad of topics and themes and solutions, all of which with the objective of making our businesses and economies better. Everything from infrastructure to digital transformation to education and employment. And tonight we're going to specifically zone in on the Trade and Investment Task Force. This is one under the B20 that saw several experts coming from different countries helping to develop policy proposals to make sure that the world's toughest economic challenges can be addressed. To help us unpack what this looks like, what it means, why it matters, and especially the opportune time for us to implement these reforms given the current macroeconomic environment that we see globally, we're joined by Thanda Sithole, FNB and WesBank Senior Economist and B20 Trade and Investment Task Force Member. Mr. Sithole, such a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thanks, Kuku. Thanks for inviting me to your show.
Excited to speak to you, Jobe. As you can tell, when it comes to themes around trade and investment, I guess because I operate in your world and have an opportunity to interact with yourself and other professionals in your space to give us a better understanding around the importance of trade and investment. But maybe highlight it for us, and as everyday South Africans, just to fully understand the importance of global trade and why this matters to the B20 to such an extent that we have a specific task force dedicated to this intervention.
Sure. Thanks, Kuku. So trade is very critical for a lot of reasons. Exports provide revenue to government fiscals. Exporting companies also get earnings from exports, and they get to employ people from that activity. So trade is really critical, and I think it's the backbone of the global economy, whether you look at it from commodities, from manufacturing, and from agricultural products. It's a critical leg of the global economy. So I think it's very important from a B20 perspective, especially when you look at the African continent. Mm. So G20 is quite huge. It commands about 85% of GDP, global GDP, and about 70% of global trade. But when you look at the African continent, the issue there is that we account for very little when it comes to global exports, about 3% of global exports, and our GFCF or investment flows into the African continent also remain very low at around 3-4% of global FDIs. So that's the critical problem that we are having, and I think that is what the B20 Trade and Investment Task Force is trying to address there on that policy paper.
Mm. And I think this is so important, right? Specifically how you've zoned into the African continent, because it's not just about South Africa operating in isolation. It's capitalizing on the partnership that we have with our peers, but also amplifying the contribution of Africa in the globe. And that actually speaks to the recommendations that has been made by the Trade and Investment Task Force. And I'm so keen for us to deep dive into those 3 particular recommendations and the priority areas and really distilling why they matter. And the 3 are revitalizing multilateralism, which is critical because it means opening up the space for everyone to interact and engage, accelerating African integration, and that's really leveraging on the back of AFTCA, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area Act, and developing climate-responsive trade architecture, which we know is really important, just given where we are in terms of creating a sense of sustainability within our environment. Talk us through these three recommendations briefly, why they matter, and of course how they can really work as great tools of intervention when it comes to trade and investment.
Sure. So as you have just highlighted, I think there is three key recommendations that the trade and investment task paper is actually putting forward for the B20 there. The first one, as we have highlighted, is calling for the promotion of stability in global trade and improved market access through the escalation of recent trade actions. So we know that recently we've had a rising protectionism. There's been tariffs being implemented by the U.S. and also in some cases we've had tit-for-tat strategies where other economies will also hike their tariffs. So that's one of the recommendations, that this actually needs to be rolled back as soon as possible. And I think that is going to be critical for the stability of the economy, of the global economy, and Africa in particular. But the second one, as you have said, also is more important, and it tries to address the issue of low FDI in the African continent. And this one is basically calling for the creation of new trade and investment deal for the African continent. And this is something that is going to be designed to actually unlock capital, make sure that infrastructure is strengthened, and also integrate African business into regional as well as global value chain. So that's a very important one, and it's going to be critical in making sure that we, Africa as a continent, is able to attract or improve the low levels of FDI that it's currently experiencing. But the third one, as you have said, speaks to the climate response system for the international trade and investment activities. And this one also is very important, especially given challenges that are related to climate disruptions, particularly with the African continent largely exposed to issues of climate disruption. So those are the key three recommendations that the paper is putting forward, and I think that it's going to be very important that they are really implemented from a G20 perspective.
Certainly. Jobe, this gets me excited because in previous engagements and conversations we've had, we deep dive in particular into the performance of the South African economy. And when we look at the continent at large, we know that we are not lacking when it comes to resources. The downstream processes and beneficiation is typically where the challenge lies, but we're also not fully capitalizing on opening up our markets to trade with each other and even everywhere else across the world. When I look at the World Trade Organization, I'm aware that there's an African woman who sits at the helm of it, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. We look at the resources we have and what it is that we produce. There's no shortage of us producing amazing output and having markets to extend it to. But it seems as though we're lacking in terms of some mechanisms, systems and solutions that we can easily plug and play just to amplify and sustain our levels of international trade and partnerships. Talk to us about what those interventions are that we can, you know, quickly bootstrap, kickstart, and see a quick turnaround, given that these will be catalysts to enhance the level of global trade and investment for the continent as well.
Sure. So you are right, Gugu. The issue, if you look at our intra-Africa trade, it's really low compared to peers. If you look at the likes of Latin America, intra-trade there is quite high. So in the African continent, that is really lacking, and there has been some serious challenges causing that, some of which are related to infrastructure. So when it comes to the African environment, trade really remains fragmented, and we have a lot of infrastructure gaps in the African continent. So those will need to be addressed quite swiftly. And I think that AfSCFTA, as you have highlighted, is going to be very critical to make sure that these issues are actually resolved. And also, I think working together with the G20 groups is going to be very important, that these critical structures actually tackle all these challenges that we're currently facing. As you have said, most of these challenges usually disproportionately affect small businesses, SMEs, as well as women and youth-led businesses. So it's really going to be critical that these are tackled. But also from a finance perspective, I think that banks have a role to play here in terms of making sure that there is access to finance and all those interventions that are critical to make sure that trade is stable in the continent and that we are able to increase our manufacturing and even export more to the rest of the world as a continent.
100%. Before I let you go, Jobe, I'm aware that as we move into the month of November, we're all getting ready, not only for the culmination of the G20 meeting and, of course, conference that will be taking place just after the 20th of November. But before that, there's a good 2 days where B20 delegates will also be participating. And I'm looking forward to interacting with you, your colleagues in your task force and so many other business leaders. But for many of us as South Africans, we tend to think, does this matter? And perhaps this is an opportunity for you to remind us how B20, through institutions like FNB and many of your peers, are contributing to creating the kind of economic landscape that doesn't just only lead to economic growth, but also redefines how we as South Africans and Africans experience the environments that we're in. But help us unpack why it matters as we lead up to it by the end of November.
I think from an African perspective, it matters a great deal. So the African story has been for me not an inspiring one. When you look at as I've said, our levels of FDI very low compared to global peer or to global averages. If you look at our exports, also very low. We still pretty much export more raw materials. When it comes to commodities without any processing and beneficiation. At the same time, we are a continent that is confronting elevated levels of unemployment as well as deep poverty. So for me, the B20 as well as the G20 is really going to be critical in terms of ensuring that the narrative about the African continent changes. I think the younger generation needs to be able to tell a better narrative over the next decades when it comes to the story of the African continent. The generations need to be able to say the continent through B20 and G20 platforms has been able to actually lift itself out of poverty. It has been able to actually increase FDI, attract a lot of investment, and take all these challenges that the continent is currently facing. So, in other words, it's very important for the African continent. And I think what is going to be critical is that these recommendations, which are very important, that are being put forward here in the trade and investment policy paper, I think really needs to be implemented. I think the G20 will have to implement these reforms to make sure that in the next decades, the story about the African continent becomes more positive than what we are currently telling.
100%. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Jobe. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. I am excited to see how, of course, these particular recommendations continue to be adopted and, you know, not only in South Africa, but really speak to the legacy that we're leaving behind, given our G20 presidency and, of course, recommendations shared through the B20 Trade and Investment and Economic Inclusion Task Force. Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you, Gugu. Yes, bye.
Thank you. That's Thanda Sithole, FNB and WesBank Senior Economist and B20 Trade and Investment Task Force Member. It is exactly 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Stay with us. The next hour of the show, we're going to give you some insight into the world of gambling in South Africa. Yep, you might recall a week ago we had a conversation around the 1.5 trillion rand that has ballooned and made headlines from the National Gambling Association in South Africa, who gave us some context around the big figures. But tonight we're going to deep dive to understand who is gambling. How much are we spending on gambling? When do we gamble? At what time of the month? All of this is going to be unpacked by a guest who will join us from Experian. And don't forget, as we head into the month of November, we are looking forward to the Whiskey Live 2025. And tonight we give you another phenomenal guest who is actually a whiskey maker, perhaps a whiskey connoisseur. whiskey leader within the environment. And we will speak to Andy Watts, who will give us some insight as to what we need to be mindful of as we prepare for the Whiskey Live taking place on November 13th to 15th at the Galleria.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.